meaning of a word and what its implications. And the word is surrender. The first definition, according to Webster, is the act of yielding one's person or giving up the possession of something into the power and control of another. The Christian life demands only one thing: surrender. As long as you want to maintain the right to yourself, then you can't be a Christian. It's just not possible. Now, for almost everyone here in Trinity, we've tried every other possible solution to life. If the doctrine that we are taught here doesn't work, then we are totally and forever lost, because there's nowhere else you can go after surrender. There's nowhere else you can go after abandonment. Can you understand that? So that's why, in a very real sense, this place, and I believe that all places that rightly name the name of Christ, are one micron from hell. There's no other place you can go. There's no other thing you can do. What do you do when you've tried everything else and it was nothing? And then you tried surrender and it didn't work. And then you tried the abandonment of self and it didn't work. What do you do? What's next? What's left? More rules? You already tried that. You can't meet them. More better acting? You've already tried that. You can't sustain it. Silence? Bearing it patiently? I doubt if any of you can do that anymore. So what do you do if this doesn't work? If there's no life here for you?
You piss.
Insane asylum.
Or if there's no life in surrender.
I had this dream on Thursday night that I was in what appeared to be something like a sewer type place. It was very dark, very slimy, very awful. And I had gone through this huge, you know, long thing, and I was coming to the end of it. And I could see around the corner there was up some steps, there was like a way out. And I was passing by this door, the steps were right next to this door, and I knew that I had been pulled in by someone that had seen me and pulled me in, and that's where I was like going down even deeper than where I was. And as I was passing this door, I tried to go up the steps to get out, and my feet sloshed down into like this mud, this muddy thing. And about that time, I heard the door opening again. And like someone was like reaching out to pull me back in, and I'd go all over again. And I woke up, and it was just, I couldn't believe the revelation that, because I went to sleep praying that I wanted to know God's love. I wanted to see what God's, because you had talked about grace, you know, to see that, you know, the only way out is to see God's grace. And I wanted to see that. And through that dream, I was able to see that, you know, that it's only by God's grace that I don't have to go through that thing again. I don't have to live there. It's only because He said, you don't have to do that. And that's it. But I remember the dread feeling of knowing that, oh, I've been caught again. You know, if I had my foot hadn't been caught, I could get out. But that's, you know, there's nothing I can do. There's no way out. Except God's grace.
We've tried all possible solutions to the problem of self. to educate self, try to discipline self, try to ignore self, try to improve self in a thousand ways, try to get self drunk. Once the self is the center of your life, and if it's taught that your self is the center of your life, both individually and collectively, and if the self is not at peace, not whole, or not centered, not understood, then everything is wrong. That's why the slightest thing can bring you to peak, to out of the peace, out of rest. And it will always be that way your entire life. The moment your attention centers on self, and everything will try to get you to center on self. Your mind will, your family will, your problems will, I will. I'll try to all, you know, everything tries to get you to center your mind on yourself. And God is doing it that way to bring you to the test, to put you through, just like silver is being assayed, and the heat is increased on the silver until finally it's only pure silver. By definition, preaching has to put your eyes on yourself. But by the same token, then, preaching has to put your eyes on the solution for self, which is ever and always only the cross. Now, the essence of a complete life requires nothing less and nothing more than 100% surrender to God. Now, surrender is real. I mean, the surrender has to be a decision. The surrender has to be when there is no other possibility and no other possible action to take, then you surrender. If there's the slightest hint that you might, through stealth or strength or actions of another, you might win, then there's, you can't surrender. Surrender comes only and exclusively when you've lost, and you know you have lost. Now, I have to pick on Harry. I asked Harry to do something after Bible study tonight. And he just sat there. He didn't say, no, I don't want to do that, or I'm too busy, or... And I just let him stew, because I could tell that he was really, really objecting to it. What he doesn't understand is, I don't care. I mean, it doesn't bother me if he says, I don't want to do that. And then we may or may not try another solution. But the fact that he would sit there and gel in that only means that he went up to the high place, got off the cauldron, put it on the fire, got the eye of a newt and the hair of a bat, and he was mixing in the cauldron. And the problem with Harry when he does that is he thinks he's being a good boy.
By not objecting. And being honest.
Being not letting out what's there. He thinks he's being a good boy. And the really secret thing he does is, he says, it wouldn't be fair to Ole for me to say, I don't want to do that. Because he's got so many responsibilities, and so that's what his mind does. And it's not righteous. It's sick. It's evil. But it makes it acceptable. It makes rebellion acceptable because you're doing it for a righteous, in your mind, reason. And so what? The moment you do that, then guess what? You become your own God. Now, the self is a created creature. It can never become the creator. But you want to become the creator, as evidenced by your internal murmurings. Unstated murmurings are the evidence that you want to be God. Does that communicate? No matter what righteous thing that you have for not saying them, the only righteous thing that you have for not saying them is the ability to flush them. To see that it's crap, whatever your thought is. But if you can't see it's crap, what do? You have to give it. No matter what the consequences are. And it's terrible to be around someone who knows you so well that they know when you are conning, when you're going through the con, when you're going through the righteous dance.
What if you say, to be honest with you, say, I don't want to do that, but then you still feel guilty because I should do that?
Then for you, Christ was never born, died, or never was resurrected. Messiah has never come. Anybody understand? Now, the Psalms say, you've made him a little lower than God. So is that Psalms, Job, Hebrews? The little lower is important. Man was made in the image of God, but was never intended to become God, his own God. The attempt to become your own God is the central sin of all religion.
Well, was he made in the image of God so that we were capable of being able to put flesh on the idea?
No. The word image is the Greek or Hebrew word selam. Doesn't mean we look like God. The word selam is the word that you would use to say that the glove is an image of a hand. The word image there means that we were created to contain God. It says, were we made in the image and likeness? The likeness says, that was fulfilled in the Mount of Transfiguration, when time and space lost its hold on Christ. And then he was in the likeness of God. Now, it is the attempt, our attempt to become like God is the attempt to enthrone ourselves in the temple. To enthrone self as the God of this temple. It's the height of self-assertion, it's the height of sin, and it's evidenced by Christ's words, and they believe not on me. Understand that? The minute, the second that you internalize it, the second that you have an agenda, the second that you have a plan, it's returning, it's becoming, it's enthroning self in the temple as God, and it's throwing out the idea of surrender. It becomes, what's the word, if you surrendered, and then you're working towards
sedition.
Now, do you understand that modern religion, in essence, teaches that the self is to become like God? Success of the isolated self. Do you understand that's what you want?
What God is doing right now.
Don't have to guess. He's preparing a bride.
But the human race then is doing the opposite.
Human race is trying.
We think we're gods.
Human race is trying to be successful in isolation.
Well,
the Holy Spirit is fighting against the human race. In all of its forms, all of its possible things, whether it's religious or non-religious. God is interested simply in preparing a bride. Now, neither does the Christian faith teach self-abasement or the like, or self-denial. It teaches abandonment of self, but not self-denial. Understand the difference? If you're teaching self-denial, and Paul says, in Colossians. He said, "True, it has an air of wisdom with its forced piety, its self-mortification, and its severity to the body, but it is of absolutely no use at all in combating the sensuality." Self-mortification is self-defeating, for it focuses your attention on yourself. To watch it, to mortify it, to keep it under. And it's the law of your mind that whatever gets your attention gets you. But we think it's righteous to fight against self. I hear the stories all the time. "Well, I've been fighting this, or I've been fighting that." Don't fight it. Ignore it. You've already lost, so you can't give it any breath. It's a law of life that whenever something gets your attention, it's defeated you. Understand that? If you've surrendered to God totally, and if some aspect of yourself has gotten your attention, then it's proven to God that you haven't surrendered. To communicate?
You know, I'm sitting here thinking, I don't know what the right words are. I agree that what you are saying is the truth, that it's what is. And if I read the scriptures, that's what I see. And everything I've been taught by everybody in my entire life is the opposite of that. I mean, it's like everything is the opposite. I guess I'm looking for excuse or something, but it's like for 50 years, everything has taught me the opposite. It hasn't worked.
How long have you been here?
I don't know. 8 years, 10 years, I don't know.
October of 83 to 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94. In October, you'll have been here 11 years. So it's not true you've been taught this for 50 years. So that means that my preaching has had none effect.
No, absolutely not true.
What effect has it had? What effect did it have this morning? If yourself gets your attention, even a fighting attention, it has got you, period. But you believe it's righteous to do the fight, or to do the thing, or to be a good boy, or some other quarter.
So what's left is to see that it's digital.
Alpha. You'll be a self-preoccupied person, and a self-preoccupied person is of no value to himself or to God. Self-preoccupied person is a vain fellow. The extremes of self-deification or self-mortification, either one, they're both the opposite of surrender. And they both lead to the same path, even they look like they're going in different directions. They both lead to cultism. Paganism. And what is the right path? And how do you stay in the right path? It's always and ever self-surrender. Not self-improving, not self-changing, not trying to fight self, not trying to ignore self. It's the recognition of the surrender of self. Huge. You never, ever, ever, ever leave the position of surrender. It's not commitment of self, for you can be committed to a person or a project or to God and not be surrendered.
You're there under inner protest. Self-surrender comes only when you know you have lost. If you don't know you have lost, that's fine. Well, I can't do anything about that, but then you're a fool for being here. You know, that's why, whether it's there, whether it's with, they have to figure out. They have to, I mean, are they being fools for being here? Self-surrender comes when you know you have lost. That's the strongest and most comprehensive explanation of this doctrine into which we've been delivered. I've lost.
Do you think as a child, though, that you feel that more? And then as you get older, you don't really fear God anymore?
No. Those are just different stages.
But it seemed like as a child, it seemed like I cried out. I feel like I cried out to him then. And there was something that I... But as you start getting older,
well, it would depend on the individual. I mean, the reason that would be true as a child for many would be that if your childhood was very difficult, if you felt, you know, oppressed or something, then in that thing of being lost, then that would be the stronger in you. But as you grow older, you're more likely to fake it. If in your childhood things normally went your way or you were totally independent, things where life was easy for you, then it takes a whole raft of things in the future to cause you to be at that point. Now, what is involved in surrender? It certainly can't be doctrine. It can't be words. It can't be principles. It can't be ought tos. It can't be shoulds. Can't be trying to be good. Can't be trying to be right.
It's got to be abject failure.
We have to hand back to God the self that has been handed to us by the Creator. To surrender the one and only thing that you truly own. The only thing that you truly own is the right to yourself. Understand that? Understand that you've never surrendered the right to yourself? You think maybe it might be time? You understand that Ed has never surrendered the right to himself? You think it might be time? Understand, Burnett has never surrendered the right to himself. Understand, Patty has never surrendered the right to herself. Understand, you have never surrendered the right to yourself. You think it might be time? Or are you still checking out?